Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In headlines this Friday, February 14th, Pope Francis is admitted to Rome's Gemelli Hospital following a bout of bronchitis. Over 300 Jewish leaders in the United States condemn President Trump's proposal to take over and redevelop Gaza, saying that it would amount to ethnic cleansing. And church leaders in Germany urge voters to back democracy and peaceful coexistence in upcoming elections. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. The Holy See Press Office has announced that Pope Francis has been admitted to the Agostino Gemelli Hospital in Rome. In a statement, the press office announced that the Pope was scheduled to undergo several diagnostic tests and continue treatment for his ongoing bout of bronchitis. The Pope has been suffering from an inflammation of the lungs for several days, as he has noted during various public appearances. This is not the first time that he has suffered from bronchitis, which has caused him to be hospitalised several times over the past few years. Before being admitted to hospital, however, the Pope did conduct his scheduled morning audiences, and he also sent a telegram to the Bishop of Santiago de Guatemala, expressing his, quote, deep sorrow over a recent bus crash in the region that has left over 50 people dead. Christopher Wells has more on that message.
Pope Francis has said he is deeply saddened by a recent bus crash in Guatemala, which has left at least 55 people dead. In a telegram sent to Archbishop Gonzalo de Villa y Vasquez, the Pope said that he offers prayers for the eternal rest of the deceased, who plunged to their deaths after a crowded bus fell from a highway bridge. The message, signed by Holy See Secretary of State Pietro Parolin, adds that Pope Francis sends his heartfelt condolences to the families of the victims, along with expressions of comfort, sincere concern, and wishes for the swift recovery of the injured. A densely packed bus was traveling into Guatemala City, the country's capital, on the morning of Monday, February 10th, when it fell approximately 20 meters from the highway bridge at Puente Biliche. Investigators said 53 bodies were recovered at the scene, and the San Juan de Dios Hospital confirmed that two passengers who were brought there had also died. Others were seriously injured. The bus fell 35 meters into a sewage-polluted stream. It landed upside down and half-submerged. Firefighting spokesperson Edwin Villagran said that a multi-vehicle crash had been responsible for sending the bus off the road and into the steep gorge. Another spokesperson said that children were among the victims. President Bernardo Arevalo offered his condolences and declared a day of national mourning. I'm Christopher Wells.
Over 300 Jewish leaders and activists in the United States have condemned President Trump's proposal to take over and redevelop Gaza. As Francesca Merler reports, the leaders have warned that such actions would amount to ethnic cleansing of millions of Palestinians.
A full-page ad in the New York Times, signed by 350 U.S. rabbis and Jewish public figures, condemns President Trump's proposal to expel 2 million Palestinians from Gaza. The ad reads, Trump has called for the removal of all Palestinians from Gaza. Jewish people say no to ethnic cleansing. Trump's proposal for mass expulsion echoes the 1948 Nakba, when hundreds of thousands of Palestinians were forcibly displaced. Some argue that such actions could meet the legal threshold for genocide under the 1948 Genocide Convention and crimes against humanity under the Rome Statute. Rabbi David Rosen, former International Director of Interfaith Affairs for the AJC, emphasized that forced displacement violates the Geneva Conventions and is morally unacceptable.
Of course, were people to voluntarily choose to move, that is another question. But it has been presented as a forced movement, and that is morally unacceptable.
In response to Trump's comment about Gaza being a real estate development, Rabbi Yosef Berman of Washington, D.C. denounced the president's actions, stating Trump is not God and cannot take away Palestinians' inherent dignity or steal their land for a real estate deal. J Street, a liberal advocacy group, and the Rabbinical Assembly, which represents conservative rabbis, also rejected the plan, stressing that forced resettlement is incompatible with Jewish values and international human rights law. The ad was funded by the In Our Name campaign, a group of Jewish philanthropists supporting Palestinian-led efforts to build safety, dignity, and self-determination in Palestine. The message of the ad is clear. Jewish leaders reject ethnic cleansing and call for peace and respect for Palestinian rights. I'm Francesca Merlo.
After a long waiting period, 14 seriously sick children from Gaza have arrived in Italy for medical treatment. Father Ibrahim Faltas, an Egyptian Franciscan and vicar of the Custody of the Holy Land, was involved in organising the arrival of the children and was present to welcome them. He expressed his gratitude to the Italian government for their efforts to welcome the sick Gazan children, but he did express his concern for the fate of all of Gaza's other children if the present ceasefire should come to an end. Deborah Castellano-Lubov has more.
After many months, and thanks to the current ceasefire, Italy welcomed 14 seriously ill children from Gaza and their companions on Thursday evening, February 13th. The vicar of the Custody of the Holy Land, Father Ibrahim Faltas, welcomed the gesture, stressing that in these difficult days, this new and concrete act of solidarity helps us to hope. Father Faltas was among those present at Rome's Ciampino Airport to welcome the children and their companions who arrived on an aircraft operated by the Italian Air Force. The Deputy Prime Minister of Italy and the nation's Minister of Foreign Affairs, Antonio Tajani, the Rector of the University of Rome's La Sapienza, Anna Maria Bernini, and the President of the High Presidential Committee for Church Affairs in Palestine, Dr. Ramzi Kouri, were also in attendance. It is not easy to handle the transfer of patients in need of care, Father Faltas noted, and it becomes truly complex, he added, to transfer children with oncological conditions. Aid and care, Father Faltas reflected, are life for these children, who also have the right to a life plan thought out and desired for their future. He insisted we must return to the children what war has stolen from them, including the right to life, health, education, and play. The vicar of the Custody of the Holy Land expressed his profound gratitude to the Italian government and the Italian people for their commitment, recalling that the transfer of patients from Gaza had been blocked by months of war that had prevented any form of aid from entering and blocked those who needed help from leaving. Welcoming the children, their rights, Father Faltas underscored, is the highest sense of civilization that a people can express. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
German church leaders have issued a joint appeal urging voters at the upcoming elections in the country to show their support for democratic coexistence and the values of democracy. The appeal comes against the backdrop of increasing polarisation in Germany, particularly over the issue of immigration. Lisa Zingarini has more.
Signed by the presidents of the German Bishops' Conference and the Council of the Protestant Church and by the chairman of the Association of Christian Churches in Germany, the statement underscores a fundamental message that democracy is not negotiable. The Christian leaders begin by remarking that Germany today needs hope and confidence in the future as it faces numerous challenges, including the radical shift in the global order showcased by the wars in Ukraine and in the Middle East and elsewhere. Climate change, forced migration, and the rapid rise of artificial intelligence are also listed among the pressing challenges that demand thoughtful democratic responses. Additionally, they warn against the growing influence of authoritarianism, misinformation, and efforts to undermine democratic norms. According to the Christian leaders, to build a better future, Germany must first of all continue to strengthen Europe as a common space of freedom, justice, security, and prosperity, while also serving global peace and human rights. It must also not weaken its commitment to protecting the environment and to eradicating poverty and oppression worldwide. Similarly, the appeal emphasizes the need for continued humanitarian efforts, particularly in refugee policy, advocating for integration without resentment. As pillars of a just society, the statement also highlights economic justice, social security, and the inalienable dignity of all human beings. In their closing remarks, the Christian leaders make a direct plea to voters to take responsibility for good democratic coexistence, urging citizens to support parties dedicated to lawful, free, and inclusive society. Let us make our voices heard and defend our democracy, they urged. I am Lisa Zingarini.
A high-level dialogue in the Vatican yesterday brought together dozens of officials from national governments and international organisations to discuss the subject of tax reform. Among them was the Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz. He spoke to Vatican Radio about the significance of the Vatican Conference.
The event is very important because it links with the Jubilee movement. The Jubilee has been recognized by the church as an important moment for thinking about justice, equality. It was a moment in the Bible when debts were forgiven and people were given the opportunity to have a fresh start. And the Vatican is taking the moral leadership in this whole issue. Debt restructuring, which we had a meeting on, is one element. Tax justice is another. And that's what this meeting is about.
If there's one point that you wanted people to go home with from today's event, what would it be?
We need tax justice. We need to tax those who are able to pay taxes. The rich corporations, the billionaires, they need to pay their fair share of taxes if there's going to be a restoration of trust in our system, a movement to greater equality.
That was Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz speaking to me yesterday at a conference on tax reform organised by the Vatican. Also present at that conference was Winnie Byanyima, the director of UNAIDS, the joint United Nations programme on HIV and AIDS. She spoke to me about the role that faith communities can play in combating HIV and AIDS.
As I said, today we've seen a major disruption in services. Prevention, testing, treatment services are disrupted in many countries, and we need to get them back full force. We need to get other donors also to increase their investment, because these countries are not going to be able to find the money immediately to keep their people alive. Faith-based organizations have been very important players in championing global solidarity to fight this disease. We want them to step up their voice and call for justice for people who live with HIV, and to call for humanity, call for global solidarity to keep this response going, particularly to call on European countries to increase their contributions to fill the gap, but also to ask the United States to reconsider and keep the response going as we work with governments to take over in an orderly and gradual way. So faith-based organizations have been leaders, particularly on fighting stigma, fighting discrimination, and these are the real reasons why so many people are still not on treatment, because they are hounded by there are barriers to their receiving services because they are discriminated and there's stigma against them. The churches, the mosques have been instrumental here, and we need them now to speak more forcefully and to persuade governments to step in. People's lives are at stake.
That was Winnie Byanyima, the director of UNAIDS, the joint United Nations programme on HIV and AIDS. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, you can visit our website, www.vaticannews.va. Of course, the big story at the moment is the Pope's health. You can check our website for all the latest updates on that. The current news is that he's postponed some of his appointments for this weekend, and we'll see what the news is in the days to come. And of course, you can also get the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. Just search Vatican News. Many thanks go to Daniele Giorgi in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Joseph Tullock. Goodbye.